Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Exodus, and this is the 15th chapter. Let's all go to the throne to ask the Lord to quicken these scriptures and this strength into our spirits, to give us the power, the strength, the ability to continue on another day walking in the Spirit. For there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, bless this service into our spirits. Give us the strength we need to make it another day on our journey. This is something that we must do every day to continue on in you. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Go ahead.
Exodus chapter 15, King James Version, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power.
They sank as a stone. It's more likely because of the fact that they had armor on. And there's no way they can swim with that armor on. Okay, then keep going.
Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchedst out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established.
Of course, it's the mountain of thy inheritance, that means the nation. Right there, mountain is symbolic of nation of your inheritance, the nation of Israel. Then what else?
The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Translation verses 1 through 19. A song of deliverance. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. Quote, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has thrown both horse and rider into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my victory. He is my God, and I will praise him. He is my Father's God, and I will exalt him! Exclamation mark. The Lord is a warrior. Yes, the Lord is his name! Exclamation mark. Pharaoh's chariots and armies he has thrown into the sea. The very best of Pharaoh's officers have been drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Quote, "Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, dashes the enemy to pieces. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew those who rose against you. Your anger flashed forth. It consumed them as fire burns straw. At the blast of your breath, the waters piled up!" Exclamation mark. The surging waters stood straight like a wall. In the middle of the sea, the waters became hard. The enemy said, quote, "I will chase them, catch up with them, and destroy them. I will divide the plunder, avenging myself against them. I will unsheathe my sword. My power will destroy them." Unquote. But with a blast of your breath, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Quote, "Who else among the gods is like you, O Lord, who is glorious in holiness like you, so awesome in splendor, performing such wonders? You raised up your hand, and the earth swallowed our enemies. With unfailing love you will lead this people whom you have ransomed. You will guide them in your strength to the place where your holiness dwells. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The leaders of the evil will be terrified. The nobles of Moab will tremble. All the people of Canaan will melt with fear. Terror and dread will overcome them. Because of your great power, they will be silent like a stone. Until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people whom you purchased pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place you have made as your home, O Lord, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have made. The Lord will reign forever and ever! Exclamation mark. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers rushed into the sea, the Lord brought the water crashing down on them. But the people of Israel had walked through on dry land! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances.
Timbrel is like a tambourine. It's an instrument primarily used by women. Okay, then go ahead.
And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Translation, verses 20 through 22. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine and led all the women in rhythm and dance. And Miriam sang this song, quote, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has thrown both horse and rider into the sea." Unquote. Bitter water at Marah. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the Shur desert. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without water. King James Version, verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees.
70 palm trees, then what?
And they encamped there by the waters. Translation, verses 20.
This goes to show that if anyone does exactly what the Lord says, you won't have any of those diseases or any problems health-wise, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just the promise of the Lord. You can find out if he's telling the truth or not real fast by just doing what he says. Then you say, well, it's just a coincidence, I'm good. Then do something wrong and see, all right? Okay, go ahead.
Translation, verse 23 through 27. When they came to Marah again, they finally found water, but the people couldn't drink it because it was bitter. Bracket, that is why the place was called Marah, which means, quote, bitter, unquote, in bracket. Then the people turned against Moses. Quote, what are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a branch. Bracket, Jesus is called the branch, and bracket. Moses took the branch and threw it into the water. This made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord laid before them the following conditions to test their faithfulness to him. Bracket, these false prophets say that the Lord doesn't have conditions. He just loves everybody unconditionally. They need to read this verse. Quote, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God.
That means if you will, then what? That's a condition right there, if, all right? Then what?
And do what is right in his sight.
And if you do what is right in his sight, that's conditional, then what? If you don't do what is right, then it won't happen, then what?
Obeying his commands and laws.
Yes, keep going.
Then I will not make you suffer the diseases I sent on the Egyptians.
So that's conditional. If you don't listen to him, and if you don't do what he says, well, then he will not stop you from having these different diseases. All right? Isn't that conditional?
Yes.
It says, oh, the Lord's just going to do everything for you no matter what you do. Those are blatant liars. That's just teaching people to not do good, to not serve the Lord. If you can't see that, then you really are blind. Then what?
For I am the Lord who heals you, unquote.
Yes, you who keep my commandments. Then what?
After leaving Marah, they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the springs.
That was the last verse in the chapter, and now we have commentary. All right, what else?
Chapter 15, verse 1 through 21. Israel's escape through the Red Sea took a mighty, mighty miracle from God and an act of faith by the Israelis. Often the road to victory is not easy, but it is still very much worth it.
Right, even though it's not easy to go through this life, it's a cross-carrying life being a Christian, but it's worth it. Amen?
Amen.
At the end of the line, you get to step into the place where there's nothing but everlasting rest, happiness, joy, no pain, no sickness, disease. Mm-hmm. You never get tired. You're always full of pep and energy. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth it. So you go through trials and tribulations here. So what? At the end of the line, everything is more than compensated for. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love him and keep his commandments. You can't even explain it. There's no words to explain how wonderful it is. So, you know, come on, continue on another day. And don't worry about tomorrow, because sufficient is the evil of this day. Just carry on this day, then go to sleep and wake up and put on your armor again. Never take it off until you get there into heaven, because It's worth it. Amen?
Amen.
More than worth it. All right, then what?
There will be something to rejoice about in the end if we depend on God to help us through. When we have gained the victory because of the hand of God, we need to stand up, sing, and rejoice, remembering God's miracles on our behalf. We could have never made it through the Red Sea without Him.
And that in life we have many Red Seas, amen? At least I have. I don't know about you. Some of you people have been sheltered all your life. But I've been through a lot of Red Seas. A lot of them. So a Red Sea is nothing new to me, all right? I've been through one jail, one prison after the other. Been a prisoner many times for not doing anything wrong. It's just the devil just knew who I was and just let me go through these things so I can tell my children and my grandchildren about them, I suppose. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to have something to talk about. It's a conversational piece. Okay, there we go.
15, verse 22 through 27. Those of us just beginning the maturing process often have shared memories. They quickly forget the important victories that have brought us to our present state of freedom.
Remember the pit that you were dug out of. No matter what you're going through now, it's still not as bad as the pit that you were dug out of, because you were lost then. Now you're saved. So you have a great consolation every day of your life, every minute of your life. If you're saved, you're way better off than anybody else in this world. Doesn't make any difference how glamorous it makes a person, an unsaved person, look. Like you see movie stars and everything. Many of them have committed suicide. George Sanders is one, said life is a bore. And he went and put a gun to his head and killed himself. Or he took poison, whatever way he did it. There's one multimillionaire and billionaire. There isn't anything. They don't have any hope. They don't know anything about eternity and how beautiful it is there, and they don't seem to want to know. They don't seem to want to care. And so they spend eternity in the pits of hell. Think it was boring here. One time I saw a vision of it. It was like I was inside of a golf ball. Everything was stark white, and my eyes couldn't move to the left, the right, or up and down. And it was just staring. It was like that you're like a fleck of dust inside that golf ball, and you just can't move, but you always have to see, and it's real bright, and it's boring and so frustrating that you can't look anywhere else but across the ball. You're inside the ball. That's how little you are, and that's all you're looking at. It's just one little spot. That's some of the boredom of hell. And another part is the horrible pain, and another is that it never stops. As a matter of fact, it keeps intensifying. Just when you think that it's the pain could never get much more than that, then it cranks up to where it's about double the amount. And you keep going through that and say, oh God, you just can't even think of the name of God, but you just say, don't let me think that it can't get worse than this. And all of a sudden you thought of it, and so it cranks up again twice as bad. No food, no water, no rest, and no escape from the boredom and the frustration that you can't even move, and you know it's going to be there forever. It's so frustrating that you just can't do anything but suffer. So don't, when you think you're so bad off on this side of eternity, you better learn what some of the other people go through, and the souls that are in hell are going through right now, right underneath your feet. There are people weeping and wailing and so bored out of their minds and so fearfully being tortured and tormented eternally, and it's never going to turn off. It just keeps getting worse for them. You're never thankful for anything until you lose what you have. So be thankful, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We also may tend to fall back into reacting to cries, as we did in the painful past.
That's why I don't feel sympathy for people that cry when there's really nothing that much that has happened to them. They need to go through some fire. Then they'll realize that what they were crying over was nothing. And it's just, it's hard for me to stomach people that are weak. You better prepare for sorrow so that you, and prepare yourself to be able to take whatever comes your way, because no matter what comes your way, you're gonna and I'm gonna have to eat it if we want to make it into the kingdom of heaven. There isn't anything that bad that we have to go through that we should give up our souls, our eternal souls, because there isn't anything that bad on this side of eternity as hell. Amen?
Amen.
So just keep your cool. Keep in the Spirit. What I mean is get in the Spirit of the Lord and stay there, because there isn't anything important enough for your soul to go to hell for. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
We have to remember the pit that we've been dug out of.
Right, where you were saved from. Don't you remember what a nothing you were, where you didn't know the Word of God, you didn't know God, and you just thought you could do all kinds of evil things? And here, if your soul would have went out of your body, your spirit would have left you, you would have been in hell right now forever. But now, you know. You know better than these things. So get a hold of the Lord and get a grip on Him and stay a hold of Him no matter what, no matter what you go through. Because, you know, there are storms in this world, but if you've gone through any storms before, you know that the storm is over with sometimes. It doesn't storm every day. Amen?
Amen.
We have rainy days, we have stormy days, we have hail, we have sleet, storm, snow, sleet. But all of a sudden there's a nice shiny day. Amen?
Amen.
But in heaven it's always just beautiful light and in glory and no pain or suffering. And you know it's going to be that way just when you think it's the best. It gets better. And it just keeps getting better and better and better throughout eternity. That's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Yes.
I think so. I want ducky. Okay, keep your chin up. All right, then what?
Despite God's recent victories on the Israelis' behalf, they still became desperate when their water ran out.
Yeah, so they got a little thirsty. Instead of just stopping and saying, Father, can we have some water, please? You know? No, they had to start murmuring again. Okay, the Lord doesn't like that. He wants you, if you've been in trouble, call upon me in a time of trouble and I'll hear you and I'll deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
So stop and think, okay? Don't be a can of lard or Crisco all your life. Amen?
Amen.
Pray that there's some gray matter that comes between both of your ears. Amen?
Amen.
Some brain matter. Okay? And some somethings of the Spirit of the Lord within your spirit. All right? Don't always be depressed, because when you're depressed, you depress other people, and you're supposed to be an uplifting factor in everyone's life. Okay? Okay, nobody likes to see somebody that's bummed out. You see that on the faces of the unsaved, you know. You see these people that are movie stars, and they try to look macho by grimacing or frowning all the time, like that's supposed to be the new thing to do. But they have a lot to be sorrowful about, because they're not saved, they're lost. They go to some religious-type church, but they don't have the Lord. Churches won't save your soul. Only Jesus will. The Spirit of God in Jesus, but the Holy Spirit must be inside you. Going to church won't do a thing for you. It's good to go to church after you're saved, after the Spirit of the Lord is in you, but there, if you're really in a Spirit-filled church, you don't have anything to be moaning and groaning about. You're saved. Okay, then what?
And this happened only a few days after the miracle at the Red Sea! Exclamation mark. They were still unwilling or unable to exercise faith in God. Even so, God came through with an immediate, abundant provision for their need. See Ephesians 3:20. Quote, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unquote.
See, the Lord knows that all you are is just a grown-up fetus, and he knows that you don't have much going for you. The only thing you've really got going for you is the Lord. And so the thing that you must do all the time is to just keep getting more and more of the Lord, because that's all you've got going for you. You may, in your own fetus-type mind, think that you're handsome or pretty or something. That doesn't mean Scooby-Doo. Amen?
Amen.
That doesn't mean anything. The thing that means something is if you've got God. And so God knows that you're just grown-up, semi-mature fetuses. And so just he knows that the only thing you got going for you is if you happen to be saved. And if you lose consciousness of that, then all you are is a mature, rotting fetus, because every day that you live, you're getting older. And the Apostle Paul explained his body as a vile body. And so in case you think you're so sweet because you dump more perfume or cologne on you than the next person, that doesn't mean Scooby-Doo either, okay? Okay, all you are is just a clone or a perfume-smelling fetus, okay, that happens to be grown up. But the only thing is if you've got God going for you, well, then show it by being a little bit with a smile on your face and lift people up instead of just frowning all the time and showing people how lost you are, okay? Okay, wake up and die right. Praise the Lord. All right, go ahead.
15 verse 1 through 18. The Song of Moses is directed completely to the praise of God, his saving presence, rescue, protection, and establishment of his people. 15 verse 1. Quote, then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. Quote, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has thrown both horse and rider into the sea, unquote. Quote, rider, unquote, refers to chariot driver. 15 verse 3, quote, the Lord is a warrior. Yes, the Lord is his name, exclamation mark, unquote. Quote, man of war, unquote, was a warrior. It was the acknowledgement that God fought the battle and prevailed. 15 verse 5, quote, the deep waters have covered them, they sank to the bottom like a stone, unquote. That the Egyptians sank like a stone reflected the fact that they were heavily armored. Verse 10. 15 verse 7, quote, in the greatness of your majesty you overthrew those who rose against you. Your anger flashed forth, it consumed them as fire burns straw, unquote. Quote, wrath, unquote, literally means, quote, burning, unquote. God's actions overtook them in the same fashion that a fire overtakes stubble. 15 verse 10, quote, but with a blast of your breath the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters.
Yeah, here these guys are all dressed up in armor. Can you imagine you go back if they were 30 years old to where they're like 31 years old and 9 months where they're in their mother's womb? Here's this dressed up fetus in armor. Or you take somebody like a mafia person. They're like a grown up fetus with one of those fedora hats bent down, walking around with a grimace on their face like they're some kind of a big deal. And this fetus has got a holster on, and he's got a gun inside of it. You know, and his face is, and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. This is a real bad fetus. I mean, you know, I look at people that way. Isn't it strange? They think these big, bad fetuses. Okay, then what? Then what? And here this one with armor, all that did was make him sink faster. All right, then what?
Quote, lead, unquote, probably refers to their armament. Verse 5. No doubt it does. 15 verse 17. Quote, you will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place you have made as your home, O Lord, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have made. Unquote. A sanctuary is a holy place set apart for worshiping God and performing religious ceremonies.
Right, and then our body is the sanctuary for the Lord to live in. It's the temple, and we are in there with him, and we should be communicating with the Spirit of the Lord inside of us. And if he's not in us, we don't amount to anything. We're just, as I said, a rotting fetus. But if the Lord is in us, then we're a member of his body. Then you're somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody, a member of Christ's body. Then you're eternal. You're going to live forever. So don't think that you of yourself, a aging fetus, are anything. Amen? Because
Amen.
You are not. We can do nothing of our, by ourselves. You must have me, Jesus said, okay, before you can ever even call yourself anything other than a fetus, okay? You're a piece of chaff to burn. All right, then what?
15, verse 20.
I'm glad that the Lord lets me expound. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
15, verse 20, quote, then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine and led all the women in rhythm and dance, unquote. A timbrel that Miriam used was a tambourine-like percussion instrument used primarily by women.
Right.
15, verse 23. When they came to Marah again, they finally found water. But the people couldn't drink it because it was bitter. That is why the place was called Marah, which means bitter. Unquote. Marah means, quote, bitter, unquote. Wells and pools in this region of the world were often brackish, very bitter.
Oh, yeah, and it just came to my mind, these rap artists, you know, these great big tubs of lard. They're like fetuses grown up with big baggy pants on. Okay? Oh, yeah, 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 man, 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 man. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, then what else?
15, verse 26. Quote, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and laws, then I will not make you suffer the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you, unquote.
And one of the diseases that they had is they were all nuts. They're crazy to come against the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
How do you follow that act? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Quote, the Lord who heals you, unquote, in Hebrew is, quote, Yahweh Rophika, R-O-P-H-E-K-A, unquote. This is one of the blessings enjoyed when one is in obedient covenant relationship with God. Here's some dynamics, chapter 15, verse 26. The Old Testament healing covenant, divine healing. This verse is widely referred to as the Old Testament divine healing covenant. It is a quote, covenant, end quote, because in it God promises He will keep his people free from diseases and conditions the promise upon their diligent obedience. So those are conditions.
Yeah, it's that just shows you that healing is not unconditional or that God's love towards you is not unconditional. It's a conditional thing. Amen?
Amen.
All of God's ways are judgment and everything he does is conditional. As to whether we do good or if we do evil. He'll also slaughter us or destroy us in one way or another if we're not, we don't do good, if we do evil. So the conditional thing to do, to choose the right condition, is to be, to do everything the Lord says. And then you're in the right position for him, the right condition for him to do something good for you. Amen?
Amen.
That's just common sense. Don't be a stupid, mature fetus, all right? Be a wise one. Be a member of the Lord's body. Then you're not just a fetus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then what? Fetus, I equate to being a weasel. All right? Then what?
So those are conditions.
Yeah.
That shows again that he doesn't love unconditionally. The words used here for, quote, diseases, unquote, Hebrew, quote, Makhela, M-A-K-H-A-L-E-H, and, quote, heals, end quote. Hebrew, quote, Rapha, end quote, are regularly used for physical sickness and bodily healing. This is not only a spiritual concept, but also an intensely physical one. The covenant is made absolutely certain by the fact that God joins his mighty name to the promise, calling himself, quote, Yahweh, end quote, or, quote, Rapha, end quote, meaning, quote, the Lord who heals, end quote. Yahweh Rapha is one of the compound names by which God revealed his attributes to Israel. Hear this very name, because it is his nature to be the healer to those who obey his word, to recover to health, and to sustain in health. While sin and disobedience are not always the direct cause of sickness, the man's fall into sin is the original and underlying cause of all disease. Those who seek healing will benefit by looking to Christ Jesus, our sin-bearer of our former sins, and the sins of ignorance, along with persuading renewed consecration. You can check that out in James 5:14-16, 1 Corinthians 11:29-32, and Numbers 12:1-16. James 5:14-16. Quote, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Right, now, the Bible plainly tells us that how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Because the rich man forgets, you know, who he is. I mean, he thinks that he's better than anyone else, as though he's not a fetus. He will say, I'm a rich fetus, and you're just poor fetuses. That hasn't got anything to do with your soul or the salvation of your soul. So you rich people, I don't care if you're H.L. Hunt or the Donald Trump, or anybody else, you're just fetuses, guys, and you need to have the Lord Jesus Christ save your soul. Doesn't make any difference how much money you got. You're not going to take one penny of it with you, not even a farthing of it. You've got to be saved. And you're nothing more than just, I don't know, what are you, 50 years old or something? You're just a 50-year-old fetus that needs to be saved. It needs to be a member of the Lord's body. And you may get angry as a tar at me for me telling you what you are. It's just amazing, as rich as you are, that you don't know that. Okay, so all I'm trying to tell you is that you need to be saved, and if you're not, your money's not going to buy you anything but the pit of hell. It's very hard, Jesus said, for a rich man to be saved. But if you, and Donald Trump, with his own admission, says that a guy selling pencils on the street has more money than he does, because everything that Donald Trump supposedly owns is owned by the bank. He owes billions of dollars to the bank. And so you're really more poor than the average Joe, somebody that just carries a lunch pail every day. So don't think that just because you got money in your pocket that you're better than anyone else. You're in the same boat with every other unsaved person, and you're not even near what you should be in comparison to a person that might not have a penny in their pocket, but they're saved. So you're worse off than they are, far worse off, because if the poor penniless person is saved and they pass away today, they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, where there's no riches on the face of this earth that could compare to it. And if you died without being saved, your soul is going to spend eternity in the most horrible misery that no one can even express how horrible it is. So think about that, Don, and, H.L., and every one of you out there that has a few bucks in your pocket. All right? You got made the same way we did, all right? Mommy and Daddy got together, and then there was you, all right? Hey, my God, oh, my God, somebody said in this room. Yes, that's the way it happens. The Lord tells you that. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, my God. All right? And in this wicked and untoward generation, if people can't take this, you're the biggest bunch of phonies I ever saw in my life. You know what it's all about. But I'm just telling you, you know what it's all about as far as the physical world is concerned, but I'm telling you about the spiritual realm. You better get connected to the Lord. And then you'll be safe. All right? Go ahead.
1 Corinthians 11:29-32. Quote, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged."
Yes, but let's judge things by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord tells us what we are. Amen?
Amen.
He even states that these people were born very much just like a donkey's colt out on the desert, okay? That's a miserable sight, okay? Yucky. Okay, then what else?
Verse 32, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world," unquote. And then Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 through 16.
Okay, we'll let the hearer of this tape go through that. And until then, this is Tony Alamo, and you've just heard the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, and they'll be doing chapter 16, hopefully this evening or sometime tomorrow morning. Until, keep considering the things that I've said here, which is from the Bible. The Bible tells us that we are who we are. And I'm saying that also about fetuses, because fetuses are actually live entities. They're live human beings, the beginning of you. You were a fetus once, and you were alive. And so I'm saying this as if you didn't know that fetuses are alive, and we need to keep telling people that they're committing first-degree murder if they're killing a baby, all right? They're killing a fetus. And they're going to be held accountable for it at the judgment bar of God. It doesn't matter if Mr. Bush says otherwise or the Pope says otherwise. Both of them speak out of both corners of the mouth. One minute they're saying, "I'm born-again Christian, I'm a Christian," everything. And the other side of their mouth, they're telling everybody, "Let's have war, let's declare war, let's have bombs and bullets and guns." Christians don't say those things. So keep meditating on the word of the Lord. Keep thinking about the Lord all day and all night for this day, and then tomorrow when you wake up, start again. Begin again. Till then, praise the Lord. God bless you. This is Tony Alamo. And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Bye.